themselves, we won't be able to take any decisions today, which is not a good thing. But I think Honourable Mora, in terms of the apologies, if we receive any written apologies before I come to the verbal one, on Secretary.
Yes, Chairperson. I received two apologies, written apologies. One is from Honourable Zume, who is sick since last week. And another one is from Honourable Baba, who attended the workshop on the PC on rural development and land reform. So those are the two. And Honourable Mori, who will join us later. Thanks, Chair. And Honourable Makuba, she's out of Cape Town, but the written apology will be forwarded to me in due course. Thanks.
Yeah, but the fact is that we haven't received Honourable Makuba's written apology, so it's not formally accepted by the committee. Honourable, also in terms of following up, Honourable Sweater is delayed, but she will be joining us later. So two members, Honourable Sweater and Honourable Mori, will be joining us later. Then, in terms of a committee agenda, we have the drafting of the committee's annual strategic and business plan. They have a presentation by the content advisor and the committee secretary on the strategic plan and the implementation of resolutions. And then I would like to add one item to the agenda. Two items. The quorum permitting will be the adoption of the second term committee program, and then the last one is a presentation by Ms. Dineo Mosala, who's a content advisor for the Portfolio Committee on International Relations and Cooperation, just on the role of committees in international agreements. So she'll just take 10 minutes of our time, but I think it would really just add on to the presentation that members had last week on the Department of Social Development international agreement and so on. So it will actually empower us in terms of our oversight role with that report, which I'm sure will strengthen our oversight on. We weren't strong in last year, but this year we really need to do something about it. So, yes, members, I don't know whether there's anything else that you'd like to place on the agenda. Honourable Member Masilo.
Thank you, Chair. First, we'll be approaching the second term program. I think we still have some outstanding oversight.
Can we go to item one on the agenda? There was a draft that was being circulated to honourable members on strategic plan and operational plan of the portfolio committee, and then also the other documents mentioned in terms of the agenda. And I want to propose that that Ms. Nogenga just take us through it briefly, yourself and Ms. Nsabo, just take us through it, and then we can then come up with proposals and amendments. Is that fine? Yeah. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the honourable members and my colleagues. I'm going to present the draft strategic and operational plan for 2012. Maybe just to explain that the committee has a five-year strategic plan that was drafted and approved in 2009. So every year I review that, and in light of the priorities identified by the President when he opens Parliament in the State of the Nation address. So this plan is mainly about that, and setting out priorities for the committee based on the state of the nation address. And then thereafter, Ms. Ndabo, she developed a monitoring and monitoring tool in terms of the resolutions that they were taken by the committee, in terms of the progress, in terms of implementation, or any report back that she will give in terms of the resolution. Okay, Chairperson, page one, it hasn't changed much because it's just indicating the mandate of the committee, which was as it was from when it was adopted as a five-year strategic plan, and same as the method of the committee, because this was based on the model that was approved by Parliament, that the committee conducts oversight, which is more like 60% of oversight, and then the rest of their work, which is takes 40%. So that I left it unchanged because it's a broader framework of the committee and the institution. Then page two, the strategic priorities arising from 2010 State of the Nation Address, 2012. The main theme of the State of the Nation Address was the challenge, it refers to it as triple challenge of unemployment, poverty, and inequalities, which are the main priorities of government that needs to be addressed. And one prominent strategy that was in the SONA was the investment in infrastructure development, employment creation, especially targeting youth and building social cohesion. Those are some of them. I just identified the ones that have a relevance to the work of the committee and the social development sector. Then 5.1 Chairperson, this one was it's pending from 2011 strategic plan, which I think the committee still has to get a briefing on from the department. The Social Assistance Amendment Bill that will define disability, that is still outstanding. The Social Relief of Distress Bill, that one is also still outstanding, especially that the committee made a recommendation on disaster funds that need to be amalgamated into one. That's one area that the committee felt strongly about, which is still pending. The policy regulation for the prevention of and treatment for substance abuse act, that is another area that also came up in the discussions last week. Those regulations are still pending. Oh, I should have taken this. The national policy on financial awards for non-profit organizations, and the government position paper on social security reform, that was according to the State of National Debates of last year, that should have been completed by end of last year. Okay, the end of the year hasn't come yet, so maybe we have to wait until end of March.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I can't say they haven't because we still have 2 weeks. Yes, honorable. The supply chain management policy and the social crime prevention strategy. So these chairpersons and members come from the 2011 second of the committee. Now, for 2012, we had last week had a briefing from the department where they told the committee that they would be developing a policy on social infrastructure. There's a gender equality bill, women empowerment and gender equality policy that's going to lead to the gender equality bill, and the policy reforms on anti-substance abuse. So those are the policies that they have set for 2012. The service delivery, this is a decision that was taken by the committee that there should be a closer cooperation. So this hasn't changed because that's just an issue that will remain as a priority of the committee. Closer cooperation and consultation with other committees, which we do on an ongoing basis as the need arises. So we have the PC on health, which we share the home community-based care, HIV and AIDS advocacy program, the education sector, which we share the ECD and substance abuse, and women, youth, and people with disabilities. This is with a view to improve better service delivery for women and children, and also the consideration of and implementation of international conventions, which we're going to, as the chairperson in her introduction alluded to, we're going to have a brief presentation from my colleague, Colin Advisor. And then the closer cooperation and consultation with local and international NGOs that deliver social development services. And I can report that the committee is doing that on an ongoing basis. Last year we have the Love Life and the Human Rights Commission and Children's Institute, who they always come and brief the committee. Now, on page 3, Chairperson, it's areas of oversight that arose from the briefing last week from the department in line with the priorities set by the President. The first one is Zero Hunger Program, and the committee then's role will be to monitor and evaluate the rollout and impact of the program, particularly focusing on the improved access to food and partnership between the Department of Social Development, the Department of Rural and Land Affairs, the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries. The expansion of welfare services, monitor and evaluate recruitment of child and youth care workers, expansion of child and youth care services through the ECBND model and ECD, and also visit to ECD centers, which is the crèches, the nursery schools, and community-based centers, to explore and understand the challenges within the sector. And the committee may also raise questions to the department as regards to the extent that disabled children access the ECD services, and that relevant capacity and infrastructure is provided for their needs. This also came partially from the presentation last week by the department when they were responding to the investment in infrastructure. This is one area they highlighted that they're going to be doing, investing in the ECD infrastructure. So the committee should monitor the ECD and the home community-based care sectors to ensure that the budgets and strategic plans are in sync with the expansion of the sector and that the CETA provides relevant training. The rolling out of the social infrastructure, the committee should monitor the rollout of social infrastructure according to the needs of the social development sector. For example, social infrastructure related to ECD, improving development facilities, and also the National Integrated Social Information System, which I think this is very crucial. If we remember when we went to Brazil, this is one of the recommendations in the report that the committee identified, that the country may need to implement such a system that will integrate the services of government in terms of poverty alleviation and the processing of data or that information that is needed. And then the youth development and job creation, the committee should monitor and evaluate the department's targets to job creation and youth development through the recruitment of personnel to implement welfare services, which are community development practitioners, home-based care workers, child and youth care workers, probation officers, social workers, social auxiliary workers, and also the implementation of EPWP, and the profiling of child support grant primary caregivers for vocational training, youth development programs, youth leadership programs, and bursary schemes. And also the committee may need to engage the department on matters relating to training communities, resourcing NPOs, and monitoring and evaluating programs and initiatives that focus on training women and unemployed youth in rural and urban areas. The other area is on anti-substance abuse. Then the committee need to monitor progress made on the policy reforms that will bring coherence on how government deals with alcohol and illicit drugs. And then fight against abuse against women and children. And there is a this gender equity bill that the committee may need to monitor and the progress made on that one. And then when it comes to the performance of South African Social Security Agency, there's an announcement that was made by the minister on the re-registration of the social grants beneficiaries. That is one area that the committee will need to monitor. And also the filling of vacant posts, which is very high with the agency. Another area is on the acquisition of office space. This is part of government infrastructure program. And there is an amendment of the South African Social Security Agency to make provisions for the establishment of the board to address the issues of dual accountability. This is a recommendation that was made from in 2011, BRRR, and also enhancing and improving the internal controls of SASA to address matters of emphasis raised by the Auditor General. When it comes to performance of the National Development Agency, the committee may need to look at the job creation through awarding of project funds and ECD program, and also the performance and sustainability of projects. This was came up one of the briefings last year that the NDA informed the committee that sometimes it has to withhold the funds because of the conflict among the beneficiaries. So the committee felt strongly that then the NDA needs to play a critical role in terms of making sure projects are sustainable and also in resolving of the conflicts. And this also ties in with the support that the NDA should give to projects. And then under 5.4, budgeting and funding, this is about the value for money and delivery of services with regard to better funding of social sector. Point 5.5, staffing and remuneration, that the department and entities meet the goal of government to create job opportunities by filling the funded vacant posts. So, Chairperson, this top part was just the plan now of the committee. Should I proceed to the operational plan? Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. The operational plan is divided according to the first part is about legislation, the second part is about oversight, and then the third part is on public participation, the fourth one is the capacity building, and I think the last one is on cooperative governance. Under legislation, as I've already mentioned earlier, we have legislation that is proposed on the gender equality bill. Then the activities there, okay, how the operational plan is structured, we have the strategic objective, and then next to it is a column, next to it we have activities, and then we have the means of verification in terms of how we're going to implement the activity, the resources. Then in the last column, Chairperson, I think Ms. Sapa can assist me here, is the estimated budget. The but committee doesn't have, okay, can you explain that to me, please, how the budget is of the committee, how it's done?
You have to make that request to me. Please continue.
I'm not quite clear because there is an allocation that is made by the finance people to various committees. I don't know what criteria do they use, but last year we were allocated 660,000 for this committee, the annual budget. So I don't know this year. We'll find out from the 1st of April when the funds allocated to committees.
I think the last time we tried to delegate the criteria used for committee budgets, there was just like no criteria in the chairperson's committee. They just allocate in terms of what they see the committee has been doing. So most of the time committees get the same budget. I think it's only SCOPA, finance, and those committees that sit continuously almost every day have got the bigger budget. So let's leave that and just continue.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson, and my apologies again for that. Okay, in terms of the strategy objectives then under legislation, we have the Gender Equality Bill and the activities there with a briefing by the department and the commission research on identified legislation and policy gaps. And if there is a need, then there will be a public hearing that has to be conducted, and then deliberate on areas of review and new proposal and formal consideration of the report and the bill. And in terms of means of verification, we have the policy and legislative review, the briefing sessions and minutes of the meeting, presentation to the committee, submissions and reports that will be from public hearing, review papers and reports, and the final product will be the ATC report. And resources that the committee may need to use is the research and content analysis, and the committee secretary and assistant administration support, which is provided by the committee assistant, and presentation in terms of support and logistics, and legal or content advisory services if there's a need, advertising for hearings, translation services, venues for hearing, presentation equipment, transport for both the committee and the communities, catering and accommodation. And then the other strategic objective would be the women empowerment and gender equality policy, and the policy on social infrastructure, and the policy reforms on anti-substance abuse. That's strategic objective number one. Strategy objective number 1.2 is the one that I mentioned, the pending in legislation, the SASA Act, the Social Relief Bill, Social Service Professions Bill, and regulations on Assistant Amendment Bill in terms of definition of disability. And the activities for that would be to invite stakeholder presentation to the committee on specific legislation and policies, commission research on pieces of legislation and policy at hand, and deliberate on legislation and policy documents, process bills through all the relevant stages, deliberate and consider the legislation and table reports, which is going to be on ATC. Okay. The strategy objective number 1.3 is the regulation for the prevention and treatment for substance abuse act. And the activities and resources and the means of verification are all the same as the ones before that have been presented over in chapter 3. Then point number 3 in areas of oversight. This is basically taking from the strategic plan and putting there as an operation, how it's going to be implemented. So it's the Zero Hunger Program, the expansion of welfare services, rolling out of the social infrastructure, youth development and job creation, anti-substance abuse, and finalization of the social security reform. And activities there, the briefing by the department, conduct public hearings, undertake annual oversight visits to provinces to monitor performance of the department against its plans, identify critical areas of focus for oversight visits, arrange logistics for the visits, and draft and table reports. The means of verification and the concept notes, booking and program for the trip, minutes of the proceedings, attendance registers and reports, quarterly financial reports, committee reports, and ATC reports. And resources there, the support from the committee secretary and committee assistant for logistics and admin support, the research and content analysis, and then transport, accommodation, venue, presentation equipment, catering, and translation services. Statistic outcome 2.2, which looks at the entities, first with the SASA, and the committee my whole briefing on the work of the entities, and look at SASA, analyze and facilitate the first objective, the registration of the social grant, and filling of vacant posts, acquisition of office space, establishment of the board, improvement of internal control. And the activities there is analyze and facilitate committee deliberations, conduct oversight, draft reports, and recommendations. And when it comes to the NDA, the areas of focus by the committee will be on job creation through projects and ECD, and the performance of performance and sustainability of projects, and the support NDA given to the projects. Then, strategic outcome 2.3 is also about scrutinizing strategic plans and annual reports and other relevant documents of the department and the entities it conducts oversight, briefing on strategic plans, deliberation on strategic plans, and briefing on annual plans, and deliberate on annual and draft and table the reports. And then, Chairperson, the means of verification will be the strategic plan, quarterly financial reports, minutes of the deliberation, annual reports, minutes, and ATC reports. And the resources is research and content analysis, presentation equipment, the venue, and catering. And the strategic outcome 2.4, invite briefing from the department on the budget vote, analyze the medium-term expenditure framework, the estimated national expenditure and budget vote, deliberate on the budget vote, formulate recommendations for the budget vote, draft and table budget votes. And then the means of verifications are the presentation and minutes of the proceedings, budget vote analysis, minutes of the proceedings, and the draft report, and the APC of the draft report. And the resources that will be required is the committee secretary and the assistant for admin support and logistics, research and content analysis, presentation, equipment, the venue, and the catering. Strategic outcome 2.5 will be the request briefing on progress made in compliance with the agreements, treaties, or convention. For example, the Millennium Development Goals and the Africa Peer Review Mechanism. And the means of verification there will be the briefing on progress made in implementing these agreements and monitor department's progress in implementing committee recommendations, for example, the one on the MDG report, and presentation and evaluation of compliance to the international agreement. Number four, which is public participation. The strategic outcome and the activities there will be invite public and stakeholder inputs and comments on legislation and policy making process, and open committee meetings for public to observe. The means of verification are the stakeholder submissions and inputs, minutes of meetings, committee report, and APC report. And the resources will be the assistance from the committee secretary and the committee assistant, the research and content analysis, the venue, and presentation equipment, translation services, catering, and accommodation. Strategy number five, which is to undertake study tours at a national or international level. The means of verification, there will be concept paper, the program for the tour, and the reports of the tour. The resources, there is committee secretary and committee assistant, the research and content analysis, the travel arrangement, accommodation, catering, and catering. And then strategy objective outcome number 4.2 is to organize participation of members at relevant workshops, seminars, and conferences. And the means of verification will be the external analysis and stakeholder presentation, and the resources will be conferences, registration, travel, and catering. The strategy outcome 4.3 will be the track and monitor committee reports in the house, and monitor reports to see if they are considered and noted. And the means of verification are the ATC reports and committee reports. And the resources will be the secretary's administration support and the monitoring system. And the strategy outcome 4.4 is conduct a training needs for the members of the committee and facilitate committee's program participation in training programs. The means of verification will be training needs, priorities, and training certificates and diplomas. The resources will be funding for training, the training manuals, trainers or facilitators, financing, training costs, travel and accommodation. And the last strategy chapter is the cooperative governance. That one involves the committee monitoring how the department works and collaborate with different spheres of government, oversee the role of the department as a facilitator or as a facilitator. And the means of verification is monitoring and evaluation report and oversight report. The resources is committee secretary, monitoring system, research and content analysis. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, can we now go back to the strategic plan? Any comments and all the proposals? I think if you look at page one, method of work of the committee, the fourth parliament has placed emphasis on oversight to ensure the implementation of the implementation of service-related targets are met. Into that direction. So page one deals with the mandate of the committee, the method of work. Any questions, clarity on page one? Honourable Member Masilo.
I won't be able to call the pages, but I've got 2 points to make. Maybe you will refer them when you enter those pages.
Okay.
Right. So the first one is the vacancy rate of the SASA, which is set by December. Last year, the post will be advertised. Just to check how far the process is. The second one is the budget for the committee before financial year to check whether we have spent 75% of our budget. Are we underspending or are we just on the track in terms of the...
Let me just remind Honourable Member Masilo that what we are busy with is the method of work of the committee. We're not now dealing with specific reports. It's just a framework in which we're going to operate. Our strategic plan is a committee, and your operational plan is basically how you're going to do it. So we're not there yet. But for this year, this financial year, yeah. Page one, there's none. Page two, any member?
Yeah, I've got a general point. I don't know if it's a specific The first one has to do with foster care. There's a huge problem under the Children's Act, and I think we need to address it. I don't know if you know, or if I put the right end of the stick. Basically, the Children's Act dictates that every 2 years there must be a review of foster care grants. And it's so cumbersome that the court said we must go back to the child, the previous act, the Child Care Act, right? Okay. So we need to engage the department firstly about what they're doing to streamline the entire process, because we don't have the social workers to do the cumbersome reviewing. But secondly, there's 1.5 million kids that live with a relative, who don't live with a mom and dad. And only 500,000 of them have entitled to foster care grants. The other million basically don't receive foster care grants. And there seems to be a discrimination of some sort or disjuncture where not all children living with a family member are entitled to foster care grants. So we need to sort that out. There's got to be some clarity from the department as whether it's all children or just some, and on what basis is it determined. So I think it's important that,
let me make this proposal, because I think you're touching on a very important issue that is not here. It's the legislation governing social development. We need to, if you look at the legislation, you have a policy that emanates from the State of the Nation, but the policies, we have a long list of policies. Now, if we can be prioritized out of that, we take the Children's Act, as you said, because we have to call in the department to account on these things. Besides the strategic plans, reporting, and your quarterly review, but on those issues that you have mentioned. So I think the foster care issue is very important. So in terms of the legislation, because there was also milestones set, my memory serves me right, in terms of what should be achieved during certain times, between with justice and social development and so on. So I think the Children's Institute also gave us a presentation late last year on the Act itself. So maybe we should just go back to that, because we said we needed a follow-up with the Children's Institute and with the Department of Social Development and Implementation. Yeah. So I think we need to, when we look at the, we should say, in terms of our strategic plan, we need to evaluate the impact of legislation. Qualitatively, as well as procedurally. In terms of performance, yeah. And when you look at that, the majority of the service delivery will be taking place in the provinces. Okay. So, in terms of your Children's Act and the other related acts, I think we should say then that should be a priority, and especially with relation to the state of foster care presently and the review process. So we will add that in our future.
The other issue,
so we also want to, maybe we should also look at engaging the other departments that are involved with social development in these acts, that has responsibilities, legislative responsibilities, justice, constitutional development, health, and so on. Yeah.
Thanks, Jen. And the other issue, I know we mentioned reviewing the Substance Abuse Act, which I'll talk to when we get to, but we haven't mentioned the Central Drug Authority at all. I don't know if it was an omission or it's included somewhere else, but I think we need to, it's an important aspect of the fight against substance abuse, and we need to bring them in and hold them to account. So I think we need to specifically mention them in the strategic plan. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. I think CDA, the mission, it's just an omission. We have an issue with CDA on the late submission of the strategic plans. They say they usually have a problem with provinces,
because of a mini trap master plan information comes late. But that's no excuse for late submission. So we're going to look at the ATC, at the ATC report they were missing. Yes, they didn't table. So we've got a problem. They did the same thing last year and we had to sit late last year. So I think we need to take issue with that with the minister around the late submission or the non-compliance of the CDA, so the strategic plan and the operational plan. But that they should also be included in our threat plan. Actually, I was a report. There was this new drug when we had a meeting with him last year. They were supposed to give us lab results. It's also one of these dangerous drugs that are on the market right now. Yeah? So there's a report outstanding from us. Okay. Right. Anything else? Oh, Honorable Mafola.
Thank you, Chair. I'm on this one of legislation and policy. If my memory serves well, there were time frames that by this time and this time there will be this legislation will be put on, especially this one of the definition of disability. I don't know if there was some call leading you to order, Chair. Go ahead.
I think you're right. It's still outstanding. That's why it's back on the agenda. The issue of the regulations, which is also still pending, which we haven't received any feedback. So it is a ground for us to keep it on the agenda for portfolio committee. The issue of the government position paper on social security reform. National Treasury released a discussion document last year. I think it was September, October. So I think we should call in National Treasury to just give us a presentation on this paper on social security that they've released. So there is a paper out. The gender equity bill, I thought that is a bill for the that will be sponsored by the Minister for Women, Children and People with Disabilities. So it will be sponsored by that ministry. Or did you get other indications? Can you just give us clarity on that?
Yes, Chairperson, you are right. But last week it was mentioned that the department will also be involved. Yeah, but you're right to say the main department is that ministry. I think our role, Chairperson, would be to get a briefing, maybe a joint briefing between the department and between our committee and that committee, so that we can see what are the services that will be relevant to the work of the department, social development.
We should then have put out a request that we have a joint briefing on the board. Okay. And then we will be part of the public hearings and the processes. It will also go in for the women empowerment and gender equality policy. Okay. So it will be a rights issue, social rights, economic rights issues. Okay. Yes.
And I think that will go where in the approach in the strategy plan we say we as a committee will have to work with other committees. So this is one part of implementing that.
Just two quick points. The definition of disability, I mean, when I was on the committee 5 years ago, the department was talking about it then. It's amazing, you know, 5 years later, they haven't actually progressed in any way. So it's something we must take up with them.
Yeah.
And then also just some policy reforms and anti-substance abuse. When they were here 2 weeks ago, I think you'd missed your flight or whatever. You know, they haven't... developed the regulations for the Substance Abuse Act from 2008, yes, but not, but they already want to amend it. It doesn't make sense to me that they want to amend something they haven't even implemented. I don't know if they know it's not going to work or what, but it seems very strange that they can't formulate regulations, but yet they want to keep changing acts all the time. And it's just something we should, take up with them, I think.
You can implement an act without regulations, but obviously it's favorable to have regulations. Now, they haven't finalized the regulations, so I think that is why you have the policy reform. It's also because of the new substances that come on the market continuously. So, clearly that sector is really up for review in terms of its operations, in terms of treatment, because treatment now has to be adapted because of the kind of drugs that comes into the market. If you look at the issues of sugars, wasn't such a big problem like 5 years ago, but now it's a huge problem all over. So treatment models also have to be adjusted. But you're right, I mean, the fact that they've been extremely slow in the area of substance abuse reform policy. And the regulation of the sector is, I think, even a snail is fast. Because nothing really has happened in that regard. We get the bad news, but there's not a lot of good news coming out. Can we will then keep it on the agenda, and we will look at it. And then on page 3, the oversight.
So one concern that I've picked up, and maybe something we can look at, is, obviously we all support the expansion of the ECD centres. But there doesn't seem to be a set curriculum or standard for every center whereby children are taught the same things. From what I can pick up, maybe I'm wrong, I'm new on the committee. But for me, kids should be taught how to, ABCs, 1, 2, 3, that kind of thing, colouring in, and, their cognitive side should be developing. And I don't know if it is a standardization curriculum, and if we've had maybe meetings with basic education with this regard or what, but I think we need to look at that, the standards at the ECD Centre.
Social development is responsible for ECD from 0 to 5. There is an ECD policy where it describes the developmental programs at each ECD Centre. What provinces then have to do, they have to monitor to see whether this policy is implemented, because ECD centres get registered on the amount of children that they have, the program, and so on and so on. So what is very important is the monitoring and evaluation function at your district level and at your provincial level. So your quality assurance processes should be very effective at provincial level to see that there is a developmental program at every ECD centre. But you also get different approaches. You have different approaches in terms of ECD, early childhood development. You have, if you look at the franchise that there is, that is quite promising, Smiley Kids, they have an approach to ECD, which is quite acceptable. Then you have one Montessori school. I don't know whether you heard of Montessori schools, which look at stimulating the kids into the scientific side of education very early, teaching them very early. So you would find those kids looking at maths and sciences at a very early age. So there is different kind of approaches to ECD, but that is all accepted within the policy framework. Yeah, it's just to see that parents and children get value for money, and that they stay within the broad development framework of ECD. So I think that is a very important area of focus for us, especially also when we do our oversight work, at least whether the policy framework is being implemented, but also in terms of how the regions and the districts and the provinces are approaching it.
Okay.
Honourable Member, Mr.
Just to follow up on the ECD 025, the subsidy to the sectors, whether that's standardized with all the provinces. I think that we're working on that, whether 15 rand per child per day.
Yeah. I don't think it's 100% standardized yet. I think there's differences in subsidies. And but I think they are working towards it. And then the issue also of the backlog in welfare infrastructure. So you will even find the facilities not being the same. So yeah, I think that is one issue that we can follow up, just to get a rundown in terms of what provinces are paying. Honourable Members, when we go to page 3, in terms of oversight, this is what we will focus on. I'm going to get nursery school. Let's just call it Early Childhood Development Centre. I think in terms of welfare services, we should add in psychosocial support, because that will be the social work side, which will then include the issues around large range of issues, psychosocial support to people and children in need of care and support. It will touch on the issue of foster care from a welfare perspective. And then we also need to make provision in terms of oversight here for social security, like it is here. Maybe we should leave that out. And then the matter that we raised in terms of all that legislation that is there that we just added in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That we will then just be brought into when it comes to the expansion of the office. The rolling out of social infrastructure. Model, which is which focuses on childhood households and vulnerable children. Under the expansion of welfare services, Honourable Members, I think the issue of secure care centres, Honourable Member Masilo, the secure care centres, places of safety, foster care homes, and so on, should be part of our oversight program. And the homes where we have abused women and children, which will obviously also be categorised under places of safety and so on. Victim empowerment, call it victim empowerment centers.
Thank you, Chair. I think you are correct that we must also emphasize on oversighting the projects that are funded by the department. I think we are looking that the departments are pumping lots of money to this NGO, but we don't focus on monitoring and evaluating the progress report and the money spent, because these days they tend to the family project not for the community. So if maybe we can identify from our constituency, the NGOs were heavy and funded by the department. And sometimes it doubles the same NGO funded by social development and by health. So there are some irregularities that we have to sort of. Thank you.
Well, this thing of clearing out headed wound,
yeah. Child headed outcomes, yeah. She's going to put it in. Only 1 minute, okay. Yeah. Under the expansion of child of welfare services, it will part of the ECBINGI program and see their franchise, the ECBINGI model.
Mm-hmm.
So it will fall under the ECBINGI model and developmental welfare services. Super sellers, other youth developer and job creation. Okay. Can we go to point four? So can we bring in here the issue of the social security, I think the issue that we've raised with social security reform, and what does that improve service delivery model? The service delivery model that they've made a presentation on last year, so we need to follow up on the milestones that they set for themselves. Yeah, and then the issue of dual accountability was a huge issue that the Auditor General raised every year. And so the service delivery model also touches on issues of customer care. Did you put in the re-registration program? Anything else on SASA? Then can we go to the operational plan on the moment? The issue of the equality policy and the gender equality bill, in terms of our level of participation that we are going to have, we still need to evaluate that. It will only be measured after some interactions with the portfolio committee. Maybe we should make a note on that. We can leave it in, but we can leave it. Yeah, and then in terms of pending legislation. anything on page 8, 6? Ten. Okay, just 11. Let's go to 10. Yes. On this one of study 12, I don't understand it. In fact, what I want to ask is how many study 12 we should have? And how do we improve on that? Because the last time I remember is only we went for study 12, which is the only one.
Yeah, we are entitled to 2 study tours per term. So we went to Brazil on our first study tour, so we are now due to go on our second study tour. And what I've done, I've requested the content advisor to come up with a proposal for us. Because from our discussion as a committee last year, you remember we said we should look at the USA and also at Europe for our next study tour. And there should be also a focus on substance abuse, social security and so on. Ms. Mogenga is working on a proposal for us that she will bring to the committee. So that we can look at. I don't know whether it is still, if we can do it this year or early next year. Because I think the House Chair and the Speaker, they deliberate on these things quite early in the year. So we will only be able to look at that in the second term. Honourable Minister.
I just want to check the budget of this term. Is it still available? Because next term it will be for another financial year. So if we still have not ready for the Europe and the USA, why can't we try one of the African countries, maybe for this term? Thanks.
We'll hard pressed into the So the term we are seeing for 5 years, we have only 2 study tour for 5 years.
Mm.
Oh, that has been grand.
Yeah. So, Ms. Noginka was giving us a presentation on that. Given the second term. Can we go over to page 11? Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just thought about it now. I had an idea, Chairperson, after the presentation by the department on the countries that it has a partnership with. I'm just reminded by Honourable Marcelo saying maybe an African country, because they had a whole list of countries that they have partnership with. Some are African, others are outside the continent. I don't know, Chair, if I should look at those countries, or I should just focus on the USA and Canada.
Okay. Why don't we write on the presentation, and then we can interrogate it a little bit longer after that as a committee. Not a problem. Honourable members, then on page 11. Just on 4.4, conduct a training needs for the committee members. We've got the social policy training. I think the second group needs to go. Where is the second group going? Is it in May? In June?
Sometime in May 21 to 25th, but it's part two of the program.
Yeah.
So they haven't had the date for part one. So the new group should start in part one.
Yeah. Okay, so what we need, the committee secretary just needs to find out the dates for the second group of the committee members to go on the social policy training, just for the two new members. We've managed to get some training on social policy through the University of Oxford and Social Development and the Social Policy Institute of South Africa, under the leadership of Professor Noble from Oxford University. And I can't remember the foundation that is that actually Nuffield Foundation, yeah, that is sponsoring us. So it's very interesting. I think Honourable Member Kopane was part of the first session, so she will be finishing the second session with us. But then for the new intake, it will be the two Honourable Members that will be joining us with Honourable Member Masilo and Mafolo. Now, Kenya has been with the first group, and I don't remember. So, the other members will then be. Honorable Member Makagula will also be part of the second group. So, I'm sure you will find it quite interesting. Honorable members, then, this is it. The strategic plan for the committee and the operational plan. We are six. Two, three, four, five, six. Where is the seventh person? No. It's three, it's two. Myself is a sixth person, so we can't adopt the report now. So you're right, so then we have to note those apart. Technically, but in terms of quorum is two, isn't it? Seven, sorry. Yeah. Yes.
Honorable no longer in the committee, and Honorable Akanyako is not attending. I think actually we are 15, so we can.
In fact, there's 2 minutes of 14. Akanyako is no longer here.
Hmm.
UTM.
UTM.
He's supposed to be here, but he's never attended any meeting.
But he's still
in terms of the register, he's part of us. So it's only on number four that's not here. So still we need to have 7+1, you, 6+1, 50+1, which is 7 members. And the apologies are not taken into account. We need the own bodies that must be here.
So it's noted, we will then have to adopt it as an item of distance. Can we go over to Mosala's presentation, and then we'll come to the third term, the second term report. Honorable Mosala.
Before the chair, let me congratulate our content advisor for this informative strategic plan. It's really appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, if you can get someone to ask, it's fine. Can we proceed in the meantime?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Dineo Mosala. I'm the content advisor for PC on International Relations and Cooperation. I was asked by my fellow content advisor to actually just brief the committee on the role of Parliament with regard to international agreements. And honourable members, you'll remember that since 1994, Parliament has been engaged throughout its work for many years on review of apartheid laws. And the bulk of its work has been on repealing of laws and review of laws. Very little time and very little focus was put to activities around international agreements. Much as Parliament is robustly engaged in international affairs, but implementation of international agreements and the role of Parliament there too has never been clear. We have international agreements, the term agreement or treaty or protocol are governed by the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties of 1969, and it was also reviewed in 1986. So it's just to elaborate what treaties are, I won't bother members with all that detail. It suffices to say it's a binding instrument, and also, it can be between states or international organizations, and it's governed by international law, and it must be in writing. So, in all, most of jurisdictions in the world have two distinct sets of agreements or international agreements they deal with. There is what is called ordinary or executive agreements, and they are treaties. Ordinary and executive agreements only implement clauses within existing treaties. For example, if I'm sure honorable members have heard of memoranda of understanding between South Africa and other countries relating to the sector that you are involved in. These agreements become effective on signature by the executive. They don't require any approval by Parliament. Hence, they are called executive agreements or ordinary agreements or technical agreements. So there's that scope of agreements which are entirely under the prerogative of the executive. But I'll come back to them later in detail. And then there are treaties which only become effective on ratification, which ratification requires parliamentary approval. So, parliamentary role is guided by constitutional provisions, as honourable members will be aware. And most importantly, international agreements are under Section 231 of the Constitution. And Subsection 1 thereto clearly stipulates that signing, negotiating all executive acts on agreements is the responsibility of the executive. As Parliament, we are not even disputing that fact. Parliament is quite aware that separation of powers actually dictates that there are certain things which will be dealt with by the executive and others which will be dealt with by Parliament. So that section is very clear, there's no dispute about it. However, for checks and balances, subsection 2 of the same section refers to a legal requirement for approval by two houses of parliament in order for a treaty to be binding. Hence, honourable members will have requests from departments for approval for ratification of international agreements.
Can I just ask you, just in the bank, just to keep everything in abeyance for a while, since we just have to finish one item today. Thank you.
Honourable members, if you remember that we couldn't adopt the minutes because we had, would not have the required work. Honourable members want to have joined us, and we can co opt a member onto the committee. In order for us to form the required quorum to adopt the minutes. So I want to just thank Honourable Tonto for joining us. Can we link it a proposal just to co-opt Honourable Tonto onto the committee for this purpose? Can we get a proposal and a seconder?
I propose Chair that we go on all the phones on this committee.
I do second that proposal. Thank you.
We discussed, several amendments to the 2012 Strategic and Operational Plan of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. Can we get a proposal and a seconder for the adoption of the plan? Honourable Member Martin.
I propose that we adopt with amendment, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honourable Member Makakula.
Second it.
For April to June 2012, the honourable member, Ms. Mutabo, can you just take us quickly through the process?
Thank you, Chairperson. The second term of parliamentary program starts on the 16th of April. So the first meeting, that will be a committee week, which we sit on Wednesdays. On the 18th of April, the committee would be adopting the committee program on the strategic plans and budget votes of the department and its entities.
and then thereafter we adopt the minutes of the outstanding minutes of the committee. Okay, we will move to the 24th of April. The agenda item will be a briefing by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development and the Department of Social Development on the Child Protection Register. This is an outstanding item from last year. And then on the 8th of May, there will be a presentation by the Department of Social Development on quarterly financial and performance reports for the period of April 2010 until 2011. Until the 30th of March 2012. And on the 15th of May, there will be a briefing by the Department of Social Development on the skills analysis in the social development sector, and they will also adopt the outstanding minutes. On 22nd May 2012, there will be a briefing by the Department on the progress made in the drafting of the Green Paper on Families. The 29th of May, the committee will invite the department to brief it on the responses to the recommendations contained in the committee report on the Millennium Development Goals. There was a report that was compiled by the committee in the MDGs last year. The 4th to the 8th of June, it's a committee week allocated for committee week. The committee envisaged to visit the Western Cape, to the Western Cape rehabilitation centers, juvenile centers, justice centers, info and sexual care centers. This is a long outstanding item that the committee resolved to undertake this first visit. And then on the 12th of June 2012, the committee will receive a briefing by the South African Social Security Agency on the re-registration of social grants beneficiaries. The week of the 17th until the 22nd of June has been allocated for committee week, committee visits, and committee meetings if the committee wants to meet. And there's a proposal for the committee to visit the KZN, and the objective of the visit will to the Provincial Department of Social Development, the NDA, and the SASA officers. It will also conduct visits to the department project sites, SASA services areas, and pay points, projects funded by the NDA, substance abuse rehabilitation centers, old age homes, child headed households. But the main focus is, will be on sex workers rehabilitation centers. There will be meetings with NGO coalition, human rights organization, with specific focus on children's rights and older persons. I think that's the last item, Chairperson, in the second term draft committee program. I thank you.
Yeah. Do you have it, Honourable Member? No. Sure. Honourable Member Stilo?
Chair, I wonder if you could attend the Western Cape visit, committee visit, to go also to the old age home. There was one which was not doing well at the time, 5 years ago. But the second one, I didn't hear Secretary mentioning where the Department of Social Development would be briefing the committee on the strike plan or cadet rules. Or it will be after June.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, on the 18th of April. Okay. Yes. So the consideration of the... Maybe she can just give us clarity on the consideration of the portfolio committee.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair. The committee firstly considers the budget votes or the statements of the committee before the adoption. So next week is open for committees that wish to meet and consider the state plans. So if the committee is willing to meet next week under the leadership of chairperson, the committee can consider the budget vote next week, and then after constituency period they can adopt. But for now, I haven't seen the allocated date for the extended public committee APCs for committee to debate. So for now, we haven't have a date. So we are not obliged to meet.
That to answer you?
Yes.
Okay,
thanks.
Then, honourable members, is there any proposals or changes or whatever you would like to make to the program? I think in terms of the oversight program, there will be more definition, more clarity. We will come back to you with a detailed program of the interaction with SASA, the NDA, the NGOs, and so on. I think it's very important for us to meet with NGOs when we go to the provinces to get their side of the story and their experience that they have in terms of social development services. Honourable Member, you happy with the program? Okay, thank you. Can we get a proposer and a seconder? Honourable Magagula?
I move for the proposal. I propose to move for the adoption of the program.
A seconder? Honourable.
I do second the adoption of the program.
Thank you very much. Honourable Member, I'm sorry, Ms. Nusala. I undertake that you won't be interrupted again.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I was on subsection 2 of section 231 of the Constitution, which, much as signing ratification and negotiations of international agreements is the prerogative of the executive, Parliament has a role to play there for the sake of checks and balances to issue approval of such a request for ratification or for adherence. So this approval has to come from both NA and NCOP in order for a treaty to be ratified on behalf of South Africa. And honourable members will also note that, especially this committee, as I was listening, the committee going through its start plan, you deal with very sensitive issues on human rights aspects relating to children, to people with disability, to the aged. So instruments like that do require ratification, and most of them are actually self-executing or come to the clause. It's just that this committee really, really deals with very sensitive issues relating to human rights, and the onus is mainly with this committee to see to it that most of these instruments, human rights instruments, which are pending ratification, do actually get the necessary attention. I referred earlier to what I said were executive or administrative agreements which do not require ratification by Parliament, and therefore there will not be any requirement for Parliament to approve before they are binding on South Africa. So this agreement, however, the other element of checks and balances is that they should be tabled before the House within a reasonable time. So this, honourable members, is a reasonable time for lawyers. Reasonable time is never time that we specify. But it's something that the committee can agree with the department to say all the agreements which do not come before the committee for ratification, we need to know about them. So we need a list of all those agreements to be tabled so that we are made aware of what a bilateral or a multilateral agreements are being entered into on behalf of South Africa, which are relevant to the committee. Then this executive or technical agreement, as I had said, technical, for example, it would be how childcare centers are, you know, I mean, childcare centers are built, maybe if there are special specifications for them, or if for buildings to be accessible for disabled people, what should happen. You know, it's technical stuff that countries can agree on to say we agree on this standard. So the committee needs to know about issues like that, that we do have standard agreements with Namibia or with the UK or with Brazil, and these are the things which we can agree on. And indeed, when the committee goes on oversight to, on study tours, they learn on new methods of implementing some of the policies which are similar to what we have in South Africa. So it's things like that which the committee now needs to know, whether the recommendations that you made coming back from a study tour, whether the department has taken that into consideration. And that will only appear in a technical agreement or an MOU or an administrative agreement. So hence the importance of the committee to have this agreement tabled for noting. Then section 231, subsection 2, talks of approval. So approval, what does approval mean? Approval means a treaty that has been signed by the executive. If it's not ratified, or if there has been no approval by Parliament, it will not be binding on South Africa. So most of the time, the committee will find that there are agreements that have been signed long time ago by the relevant departments which have not been ratified, because there has never been any request for approval by the committee, by Parliament, for such agreements to be ratified. And also, honourable members have to be mindful of the fact that in South Africa, much as a treaty can be ratified, it will be binding on South Africa at the international level, but it cannot be enforced internally unless there is domestic law to enforce it. And this is where Parliament comes in. If, for example, the Convention on the People with Disabilities, the UN Convention, if we didn't have any domestic law enforcing that, it would be just a good paper sitting there. So the onus is on committees to actually make sure that all these international instruments are then, they should come back to the committee then as acts of Parliament, as bills, which will actually domesticate those international instruments. So this is where there hasn't been a movement, a lot of action by Parliament, because first of all, the committee will not be knowing which treaties the department is overseeing, and then from that, then the committee would have to actually insist on such instruments being domesticated, or even initiate legislation on some of the issues. So subsection 4 talks of something which is called self-executing clause. So if if a treaty has been signed, approved by Parliament and ratified, and acted into domestic law, then it means it applies to South Africa. But there are those treaties which are self-executing, and there are those clauses within treaties which are self-executing. What do I mean by self-executing? Human rights instruments, by their nature, are self-executing. What it means is you have to abide by the provisions of the Charter on the African Charter. And you can only do improvements in your domestic law in order to implement it. But you can't do anything lesser than the standards which are set by such treaties. The UN Convention, as it is self-executing. You can't change it. Once you want to be a member of the UN, you are a member by signing the charter. You are. The Constitutive Act of the African Union, same thing. SADC, same thing. So instruments like that, the department needs to make the committee aware, Parliament aware, that this treaty is self-executing. But like I'm saying, with human rights instruments, most of them are. So this is a very important element which the committee has to note. Then if there are clauses within treaties which are self-executing, also this has to be brought to the attention of the committee when it considers a request for approval. Because what it would mean is that you will find that an instrument has passed through which has something which is contrary to South African law or the Constitution. Much as the Department of Justice would have gone through the documents, state law advisors would have gone through the document, the committee still has to ensure to make itself satisfied that actually the self-executing clauses have been dealt with and they have been identified. Because the committee needs to know that actually this treaty has clauses which will just, you know, apply automatically. There is a way of dealing with self-executing clauses. A state can issue a reservation, for example. South Africa has, for example, something related to the work that the committee is doing. With regards to marriages, our Marriages Act has the Convention on Women, Rights of Women in Africa. We had to make a reservation to the fact that the convention was saying all marriages must be registered to be recognized as such. So with us, with different marriage forms that we have and different systems, we have gone through apartheid, democratic government now. So there are many marriages which were considered unions and were not legally recognized. So that convention, if we were to take it as it was, it would mean we would leave out what was called the union. So we had to reserve a position to say South Africa, much as it's going to ratify this, but it will reserve its position with regard to saying marriages should, you know, to be considered as a legal marriage must be registered. Because most of the marriages we have still haven't been registered. So it's issues like that which, when the conventions come to before the committee, it must be made, they must be made very clear so that the committee can pronounce on them and be aware that actually there are those clauses which will have implications. Then the committee will be aware that there is what is called an explanatory memorandum. This is examination of treaties. The explanatory memorandum has its inadequacies, as far as I'm concerned, because there are a lot of there's a lot of information which it doesn't spell out about the treaty. The the committee has to check what the approval is sought for. Most of the time, it's not clear what action is needed for the committee to do. whether it's a ratification, it's an adherence, or it's acceptance, because there are different terms which are used under international law, which I won't bother you with. But what is important is just to know that if a country has signed a treaty, the succeeding action will be ratification. You can't ratify a treaty which you haven't signed. That's a technicality. So if a treaty was signed or open for signature for a certain period, because normally there will be a period for such a treaty to be signed. Once that period has elapsed and the treaty maybe has come into force, then all members who come afterwards who didn't sign will have to adhere to it. So there will be approval for adherence or for approval. So it's just those terms, semantics, which the committee will meet from time to time. But you cannot ratify unless you have signed. And then the committee also has to confirm that actually the treaty complies with domestic law. Fortunately, with most human rights instruments, which I'm saying it seems like the committee deals with, you'll find that we already have domestic law, which is well advanced, you know, in the subject matter of maybe a convention which will only be being negotiated. Or before we ratify, most of the time you find that we have already domestic law in place. But in situations where there is none, the committee has to make sure that, you know, the treaty, the executive actually spells out whether this agreement complies with domestic law. Adequacy of the explanatory memorandum, I have explained, it doesn't say what strategic political focus the treaty is aiming at. It is important for the executive to say which national interests they are addressing in entering into a particular treaty. So this has never been in the explanatory memorandum. So it's things that the committee needs to bring up. What national interests are we addressing? Because we shouldn't just be entering into treaties for the sake of entering into them without actually addressing domestic priorities. And then what international obligations are we creating? Are we getting ourselves into from this treaty? Those have to be spelled out clearly so that the committee knows which areas will need oversight. And then implications for vulnerable groups. This is very important, especially for this committee, to ensure that most of these treaties which we enter into, which are human rights related, even those that are between us and other countries, take this vulnerable groups into consideration. It's our domestic priority, it's also a human rights priority to make sure that we make sure that clauses pertaining to that are included. And self-executing, I have already explained. Then security implications, in some treaties you'll find that the security of the country can be compromised, and this could be overlooked by the executive, but Parliament can be able to pick up on it. To say, for example, you know, maybe an example which is not even related to the committee, but operations of South African companies abroad. Do we have any risk analysis of whether, you know, MTN, when it goes into Syria, what would be the implications? You know, it's things like that. So the committee checks on issues of security implications for the country. Say if we are going to confront Somalia, what would be the implications? You know, it's things like that. Then financial implications. This is very important for the committee to know whether this treaty is going to create any financial implications, which will then necessarily be reflected in the budget, so that the committee is made aware well in advance that there will be financial implications for us to be entering into this. Then the committee has now the duty to either approve or reject a treaty. and that is the a prerogative of Parliament to either approve or reject, and that has to be done with a reason. If there is rejection, rejection has to come with reasons, and if there is approval and there are concerns, because honourable members, you remember that the Parliament cannot amend a treaty when it comes here for approval. We cannot amend it. We only appear at the end of the line. The executive negotiated, signed, then the document comes here as it is, and we cannot amend it. But we can make an addendum to say to the department, we approve this treaty, but we have concerns with relation to A, B, C, D, so that come the time for the treaty to be domesticated, then the committee refers the department back to those issues, because now when it comes as a bill, the committee has all the right to chop and change the bill to say this is where we want, this is how we want to implement this treaty. I have noted something which is very interesting in the third plan, Chairperson, where a revision of disability or the definition of disability is going to be considered to fit the South African perspective of issues around disability. That's what the committee should be doing, to take all those international instruments, and when it comes now to domestic law, you can chop and change to fit the South African situation on the issue. That is the only way where Parliament can have influence. And then oversight issues for committees. We need to make sure that all agreements are implemented, because as I said, there's a whole there's a backlog of agreements sitting with executives which are not ratified. So the committees will have to may have to request that departments actually give them the list of all agreements which they have answered them to, and also to see where what the status is of such agreements. Have they been ratified? What implementation strategies do they have for them, so that the committee is able to then formulate its own oversight strategy on this. And then also, we need to identify international obligations created, so that the committee is able to also monitor the departments to ensure that they actually comply with obligations they have entered into. And then we need to ensure ratification. There, as I say, there are many which are just sitting without the process being requested. We need to have them ratified. And then we need to ensure domestication, that once we have ratified, we don't want to have a list of them sitting without being implemented in our domestic law. We need to have now acts of Parliament coming in to implement those instruments. And then we also need to have the executive administrative agreements I spoke about, which necessarily do not need approval by Parliament, to be presented for noting, for the committee to know which MOUs the department has with Brazil, with Uganda, with UK, on issues of childcare, drug abuse, substance abuse, and all those things. There are many which the committee will need to know that they are there, and also be able to make necessary recommendations on them. And lastly, the Committee on International Relations is looking into a framework for early involvement of Parliament in treaty ratifications, because as Honourable Chairperson, you can see, Parliament comes right at the end, and it's not easy to influence the process unless some of these things are followed up. So a framework which will, something which the Parliament can work with the executive to involve Parliament early in some of these things, for Parliament to be involved, to have a say at least somehow into while the treaty is being negotiated, because Parliament represents the people. They will come with a mandate from the people on certain issues which have been discussed internationally. So that element is very important. So it needs to be debated by committees on how best that can be done without infringing into the prerogative of the executive for actually negotiating and signing, but just to assist the process so that we are not left behind, you know, when these processes go take place. So in conclusion, Honorable Chairperson, I would just highlight the Rule 307, Rule 3, which actually is the one which says the committee must either recommend or approve in writing such requests which come before it. And where they want to recommend a reservation, they can also do so. And they should highlight their concerns at the initial stage so that they can be included at a later stage when the treaty now comes back as an act of parliament. And also to make sure that we know which national interests we are addressing in entering into all these instruments. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sarah. I think it's very informative. In terms of our oversight function, it's something that we started to explore since last year, and we decided to get very serious around it and look at the agreement that there is. As you were presenting, I was just thinking of the CEDAW Convention on the Rights of Women and Children. And what are our, because if you look at the content of that convention, it really speaks to the mandate of social development. So it's something that we have to evaluate from time to time. The issue of country reports also tends to get lost in Parliament. You hear about it at the United Nations sessions, but not in Parliament. So I think it's also something that we can explore as a committee on the member. Okay, so that's it. Any questions of clarity? Questions? Honorable Masilo.
Thank you, Chair. And also let me thank the Ms. Masala for a very good presentation and an eye-opener. Myself, for the past 10, whilst I was in the NCOP house, we passed so many treaties. And then I think now I'm clear the difference between treaty and agreement. Now, who proposed a treaty to both houses, if I can get that clarity? And the last point, the movement of foreign nationals in our country as well as us in other countries. Which one are we using? Is it agreement or the treaty? I just need a clarity on that one. Thank you.
Is this, what do you mean the movement of foreign nationals?
I don't know whether it's a treaty or agreement, so that they come to our country without any... Yes, Chair. I think the Honourable was referring to the Protocol of Free Movement of Persons, that one that was signed by South Africa, that allows free movement of people between the continent. But I'm not sure that it's SADC or across the continent.
That's right. I think that's what I was referring to.
I think there's also an issue around SADC, what do they call this? It also has to do with the movement of goods and so on. So you have got all these kind of treaties and agreements. Any other member? Honorable Mora? Honorable Magagula? Anything?
Mr. Senator, the question is to say, if we can get those agreements or those treaties that are within social development and then come and learn from them, maybe one will have questions from them.
Yeah? The fund is quite a stack. Especially the UN conventions, it's quite heavy. I want more, I'll be interested more in the country reports and the SADC commission and the AU commission. Obviously, to me, that would be more relevant. But I mean, it's something that we can explore in the committee. Mm. Could you respond, please?
Thank you, Chair, for actually bringing up the national report. I have left it out for basically for this human rights instruments. Yes, periodic reporting it's essential, and we really don't have a good record as a country on that, because it's either our reports are late or, you know, usually they're late, and the committees need to really remind the executive to actually bring this report forth, so that before they actually even tabled, it must be discussed by committees of parliament. And then there's also the question which said who proposes treaties. Actually, it's the executive. They table treaties in parliament and request for approval. And such treaties are referred to the relevant committee, but it's the executive. Then the issue on the protocol of movement is the SADC treaty, a protocol. It's called a protocol, by the way, because it emanates from, as I said, protocols are amendments to a treaty. So SADC has many facets under the Treaty of SADC. It's movement of people, goods, trade, da da da. So this one is a protocol of movement because it deals with migration. So it's with issues of migration and food security, agriculture, it's governments are very sensitive about them. They leave them, you know, they can sign, like we have signed, they can sign the protocol, but to ratify it, it will require a lot of insight and a lot of activity which will need to be done in order to regularize such things. For example, that one of movement of persons, it means that we should have within SADC at least a balancing economies within the members to be able to allow free movement of people from, because what it means is a South African don't go and work in Malawi and vice versa. So it shouldn't be one street flow of, you know, the nationals of one country going into one country. So issues like that are normally left for internal processes to happen. So what happens is, on that one, the South African route has been to have bilateral agreements with different countries. We have one in Zimbabwe, we have one with Lesotho, we have one with Malawi, where we agree country to country to say how are we going to control movement of people through the border. Zimbabweans, we can give them 6 months permit to be here, allow them to work. Other nationals, we can allow them 1 month stay without a permit and then thereafter renew. So it's issues which affect internal policy, which are being governed internationally. So we really need to be very careful with them. Hence, they are left with the executive, because they can manage to chop and change them as the circumstances demand. So if they come to Parliament as treaties, it will be a very difficult process. It will take long. And if there is a problem at Mosina, we need to react urgently and address that issue. If there is a flood in Somalia, people come here running from, you know, economic situation there, we need to respond immediately. So we can't have Parliament sitting down and discussing these issues. So hence, it's left with the executive. But the overall agreement, which is the protocol of SADC, it comes to Parliament because it's the general policy of the South African government to say we'll encourage movement of persons and then later persons and goods and maybe later services. But the actual how, it's left to the executive to deal with that. To say how many hours we'll open Bay Bridge and all those details, Parliament doesn't need to deal with that.
Yes. Honourable members, we've come to the end of the presentation. and it's the end of the committee meeting. Do you want to add anything? Yes. What is that? Okay. Can we just 1 minute, please, Honourable members? There's this one last outstanding item from the committee secretary, the section of the resolution mechanism that she has developed for the portfolio committee. Can she just take us through that, okay? I'll give you 3 minutes.
Last year there was a request from members of the committee to develop a tracking mechanism to assess whether the resolutions that are taken during our committee proceedings are being implemented or documents that have been requested are being given, provided to the committee. This tracking mechanism is from last year in February until the end of last year. So, Chairperson, I don't know whether I'll go date to date, but most of them, the documents that were requested are being provided, and then page one, page two, and some of the issues that were raised during the proceedings were being affected to the committee program. I'll make an example of the issue of green paper on families. I think there was a resolution taken during the committee proceedings, and that item has been allocated in the committee program for next term to have a briefing by the department to check progress made. The oversight visit to the Eastern Cape, I think in March there was a resolution to undertake such visit that took place in June. And on page 5, those were the consideration of the threat ban and budget votes, which the recommendations that were made during the proceedings were referred and debated by the House, and these are the House resolutions. And the only issue is that we don't have a mechanism in place to monitor the progress made by the executive in executing the resolutions made by the committee. So there's that kind of loophole in terms of checking progress made. But in a nutshell, Chairperson, most of the resolutions that were made have been attended to, and except the Seoul City, who hasn't submitted their annual report. I checked with them last week, and they said they are having the meeting to finalize their annual report. And CDA, there was a request for the lab results on the Cuba, and I made a follow-up last week to check whether
the results are not available for members of the committee. And this, as well, I've requested the annual report because they haven't tabled 2010-2011 annual report due to the challenges that were highlighted during our engagement with them of the mini drug master plans by the department. And we also requested them to submit the names of the list of departments. They failed to submit the master plans, of which I haven't received such information. I think so far, if you look, when we have time, members, you can look at the implementation column. That will be a tool to assess whether what was resolved by the committee has been implemented. I think that's all, Chairperson. I think most of the items are being affected or incorporated in the committee program we just adopted. Those items emanated from this tracking mechanism. Thank you very much.
I think this is for noting, honourable members, could you look at it and then we can always discuss it at one of our next meetings. Thank you very much for meeting the adjourned.